south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. This is a one-of-a-kind show, a show that tells you everything you ever wanted to know about living, working, playing, and or retiring in Latin America. You know, millions of Americans and Europeans have already made that big move down to Latin America. Maybe you know somebody who already has. Maybe you want to do it someday. It's a big move, and it's not to be taken lightly. And that's just what this show is all about. What's it really like for first world expats to live in the third world? Could be it's just a low stress, low maintenance kind of lifestyle that you've always wanted. Or it could be your worst nightmare. How do you really know? 20 years ago, I took the plunge. I knocked around all 21 Latin American countries. I built a few houses, bought and sold a few businesses, and found a little time for romance. With this show, The Expat Files, I'll be giving you an unvarnished, realistic look at what it's really like to live in the third world as an American or European expat. We'll be discussing everything and anything Latin American. And just shoot me an email if you have any questions of your own. We'll be talking about housing, healthcare, corruption, politics, insurance, shopping, buying a car, starting a business, permits and lawyers and red tape. We'll talk about things you've never heard about in those glossy travel magazines. You'll find that sometimes I like to take the path less traveled. And that's not necessarily the high road. So let's get started.
South of the border, down Mexico.
First things first, how much Spanish do you really need to know to get by in Latin America? Did you take Spanish in high school? Some years ago when I first went down, I knew just enough Spanish to order at Taco Bell. I took a year of Spanish in high school, but I'll tell you, it didn't help me one bit. Maybe I should have paid attention. So what about you? How's your Spanish? How little or how much you really have to know depends a lot on where you're going to go and what your objectives are. If you hang around the tourist areas like Cancun and Costa Rica, a lot of the places in Mexico, at first you won't really need to know much Spanish at all, because in those tourist areas, everyone's going to try to speak English to you. They're not that interested in helping you with your Spanish. They're much more interested in helping themselves learn better English. I mean, if you're in a tourist area, what do you expect? That's how they make their living, off tourists. And what do tourists speak? English. In fact, I know people who have lived in Costa Rica for over 10 years, and they only know about a thimble's worth of Spanish. It's what you call kitchen Spanish, little bits and pieces you pick up from the cleaning lady and the gardener. Personally, you might have figured it out already, but I'm not really big on living in a tourist area. Though that's usually how you get exposed to the Latin culture, so it's part of the process of learning. So, if you're like me, and you end up in some part of Latin America where there's not a lot of expats, well, then it pays to learn a bit more than kitchen Spanish. But how do you do that? There's so many options. Which ones are good and which ones are a bust? If you really like to plan ahead, before you even come down, you might want to try one of the home Spanish courses, the ones that you can buy online or that come in CDs or DVDs that you can load on your computer. Just Google home Spanish courses and the top 10 will pop up on the first page. Some of the expats down in Central America have been recommending a course for a computer called Rocket Spanish. It costs about $200 or $300, but you have to put the time in. What's nice about a lot of these courses is you can load them into your iPod, along with all those great Progressive Radio Network downloads from our archives. The nice thing about home audio courses and computer courses like that is that you can go at your own pace, and you have an actual Spanish person giving the lesson, not that blonde, blue-eyed, all-American Spanish teacher you had back in the ninth grade. You need to hear this stuff with the proper accent from a real Spanish speaker. Forget about the night school classes and the Berlitz courses back in your hometown. Sure, you'll learn grammar and sentence construction, but that's not what you really need when you first come down. You need pure one-on-one conversational Spanish. And for me, the number one thing was to start reading those Spanish newspapers. Just like U.S. newspapers, they're written at the third and fourth grade level. And if you start by reading the classified ads and the want ads, you'll start noticing a lot of English words. Because up to 50% of the things that are bought and sold in this world have English root names, So you'll start figuring things out real quick, even without the grammar. To download a good Spanish language newspaper or read it direct from your computer, to see what I mean, pick any big Latin American city, Panama City, Buenos Aires, Santiago, Managua, and just Google that city's daily newspaper. They always have an online version and it's always for free. And besides sharpening your Spanish skills, you'll automatically learn a lot about that particular Latin American area. So what happens when you land in Managua and your Spanish really stinks? And you know it. That's when you need a plan. Every city in Latin America with a population of over 50,000 has at least one university. And the bigger cities have dozens of them. And they're not called colleges either. Before you go to the university, you go to primary school, secondary school, or a colegio, or college. So if you ask a taxi driver to take you to a college or colegio, he'll take you to a place where there's a lot of little kids running around with uniforms on a playground. And yes, throughout Latin America, all school-age kids wear uniforms, girls in the pleated skirt, and guys in a sharp little blazer. And that's for both public and private school. Kind of like the good old days back in the United States. I mean, if you went to parochial school. So, you're in Managua and you want to learn Spanish. You take a taxi ride to the nearest university. You go to the language department, where everybody speaks English, especially the teachers. You explain to the teacher that you're looking for a private Spanish tutor for a few hours a week or a few hours a day, whatever you like. And in no time, you'll have one lined up. And what's it going to cost? Maybe $3 to $5 an hour. And maybe even cheaper than that, because your tutor is going to use that opportunity to polish up his own English skills. Because remember what I said, only 1 in 20 Latins ever gets a chance in his whole life to speak face-to-face with an expat gringo. Another way to find a private teacher is at the gringo expat bars. Now, every big Latin American city has a district called the Zona Viva and sometimes called the Zona Rosa. And that's where you're going to find those gringo expat bars. I'm going to refer to the Zona Viva and the Zona Rosa a lot in this program. And what they are the nicer, upscale commercial areas that you find in every larger Latin American city. The one that has all the big hotels in it, the Camino Reals, the Hiltons and the Marriotts, the big discos and the Hooters and the nightclubs and the franchises that have moved in from the United States. It's a well-delineated area. And sometimes it seems so well-organized and clean that it's almost first world. And you hardly believe you're in Latin America. It's where foreign businessmen and embassy types and visiting dignitaries come to stay and hang out. Unfortunately, everything in the Zona Viva or Zona Rosa has first world prices. Picture a miniature copy of the Miami Beach Strip, and every Zona Viva and Zona Rosa has at least one gringo expat bar. It's usually a copy of a big city bar back in New York or Chicago or LA. It's where expats and tourists and embassy types gather to get drunk, reminisce, and tell stories about Uncle Sam Land. It's like a touch of home, a little North American island stuck in a third world. And you can ask anyone there about getting yourself a Spanish tutor. Or you can check the bulletin board. Or even post your own note on the bulletin board. Spanish tutor wanted. The problem with finding help of any kind, whether it's a tutor or a cleaning person or a painter or a construction person, when you get help through a gringo expat bar reference, you're going to pay top dollar. The locals know the expats have the money to pay. And another thing, if you hang around the expat bars, you're not going to learn your Spanish because all they do is speak English there. Remember, it's supposed to be a copy of a bar back home. Now, for those of you who want to learn Spanish the fast and furious way, there's the full immersion option. And that's where you sign on with a family, a local family, and you live in their house as a boarder. And they speak round-the-clock Spanish, and they speak no English at all. After a month in a program like that, you can pretty much get around. And after 2 months, you're on your way. That might set you back $200 or $300 a month, but you get all your meals included and your laundry service. Some expats that I know that have been through it say that it's a great experience. Others say it's like boot camp. It all depends. But you do learn your Spanish. And when you Google Latin American Family Immersion, you'll find there's a lot of non-profit organizations and church groups up in the United States that match families to North Americans that want to go down and do full immersion. They sponsor programs like that. And if you're single, you have even more options. There is another surefire way to learn your Spanish really quick, and that's to get involved romantically with a Latin person. In that case, you're going to be pulled into his or her social sphere, and that means nonstop, rapid-fire Spanish, 24/7. Another single expat friend of mine took a different tack. He wanted to live down in Panama, and he didn't know any Spanish. So when he got there, he went to the biggest daily newspaper and went to the classified ads department. Now, every local newspaper in their classified ads department has somebody who speaks English. He had the newspaper place an ad looking for a bilingual tour guide and Girl Friday, even though the person taking his ad had no idea what a Girl Friday was. As usual, newspapers set up a post office box so you can get mail for your classified ad. He ran the ad for 2 days and got 150 responses in his letterbox. He ended up hiring a smart college student for 2 months, and they traveled all around Panama so he could get the lay of the land and decide exactly where he wanted to live and invest. He paid her $300 plus expenses, which sounds terribly low until you consider that the average bilingual secretary or travel agent in Panama and throughout Latin America only earns about $300 to $400 a month. And my expat friend loved it. He said it was a great deal for both of them. But for me, I think the best way to learn Spanish is to keep away from those high-volume tourist areas and just start mixing with the people. South of the border, down Mexico way. You're listening to Living in Latin America, The Expat Files. No doubt some of you will have your own questions about living, working, playing, and or retiring in Latin America. Just send an email to expatfiles@progressiveradionetwork.com. It's time to talk a little bit about culture and culture clash, because believe me, some things that Latin people take for granted will come as a real shock. There are certain cultural norms down in Latin America that first world expats have a hard time getting used to, and sometimes they never do. So let's talk about two good examples. The first one, Latin people and their public displays of affection, and second, how Latin people have come to accept a diminished level of personal space. In other words, they don't mind being bunched together elbow to elbow. Their personal comfort zone is not at all like our personal comfort zone. If you keep your eyes open in Latin America, from day one you're going to notice there's a lot of kissing going around. You know, you can't help but notice that every male and female greeting involves some kind of kissing or a peck on the cheek, maybe both cheeks. You see it everywhere, from parties to business meetings. Normally, the kiss-a-thon doesn't start till after the second meeting. In the first meeting, you'll do the usual handshake. The exception to this rule is when you meet somebody for the first time in their home or some member of the family. But it's important to remember never to kiss anyone on the lips except your husband, wife, boyfriend, or girlfriend. You kiss anyone else on the lips, that's a big no-no. You hardly ever see that kind of kissing routine go on in the United States or Canada, although you'll see it in Europe, mostly in Spain and Italy. There are first world exceptions too. You see the occasional kiss-a-thon with gays and show business types and people in the fashion industry, but not much with the first world rank and file. Seems that when the cameras are rolling, all bets are off. So in Latin America, you're going to see a lot of this platonic smooching going on, but you're going to see a lot of the romantic kind too. You're going to see it everywhere. It's funny, but in the first world, when you're in a public place and you see a lovey-dovey couple pecking and smooching and maybe even lunging and groping, everybody around pretends not to notice, but inside they're a little uptight. Well, in Latin America, it's a lot different. You'll see that kind of thing every day and nobody even cares. In fact, it'd be strange if you don't see it on a regular basis. Yeah, in the first world, we call them public displays of affection. We have a name for everything, don't we? Yep, even bridges and bus stops and parking lots and elevators and banks and restaurants. The only place that's really off limits is in church. At first, that kind of thing can embarrass the average expat. The locals know that expats are a bit anal retentive. Though they don't say anal or retentive. They just say gringos are un poco frío, which means we're a little cold. But that doesn't stop them. So if an expat gets a boyfriend or girlfriend, which is bound to happen, my advice is just, well, enjoy it, if you can, and try not to blush. It's a dead giveaway that you're not a local. And as for male bonding, you'll find that Latin guys are big on hugging other Latin guys. I mean, no hugs right away. You have to know the guy a while. But if you haven't seen him for a time, the next time you bump into him at a restaurant, you might just get that big bear hug. So if you're not a hugger, and it makes you feel awkward, next time you see somebody rushing towards you, just launch your hand out there really far and get a handshake. After a while, you know, you might get used to the touchy-feely nature of the Latin society. You might even like it. But don't mistake the touchy-feely thing from a lady or a man for something it really isn't. It's just the way it is. You're not getting any special signals just because she touches you on the arm or the shoulder or the back. That's just the way it is. And a lot of it has to do with the way the Latins perceive their personal space. You've heard the old adage that if you go in an elevator, people will file in and line up to produce the maximum amount of space between each other. It's called a personal space. And a comfortable personal space is about 12 to 18 inches. And if somebody breaks into that personal space, someone you don't know, you begin to feel a little bit uptight. Now, an expat in Latin America finds out very quickly that the personal space that Latin Americans have is about half the distance of the personal space that we have up in the first world. And you'll have to get used to that. In fact, it's not uncommon when you're standing in line at a bank or at a public building or an elevator or at a utility company, sooner or later, someone's bound to lean up right against you. And they don't mean anything by it. And even if you give them a funny look, they'll more than likely just smile right back at you. Now, if you're back in New York, standing in line, waiting to go to a Broadway show, and some guy leans on you, well, you get the picture. Another thing you'll certainly notice when you're standing in line in Latin America, and there'll be plenty of lines to stand in. In fact, a little aside here, speaking of long lines, every time you see a long line in Latin America, you can be sure that there are some people making a living day in and day out by holding your place in line or jumping the line for you. For a fee, of course, and a small one. It happens all the time. You're standing in line and a little guy or a little girl will come up to you and offer to take care of your paperwork for a small fee. You learn really fast that you don't have to stand in line like the locals. You pay $3 and you get some kid to do your paperwork. It's all a consequence of the massive third world bureaucracy. And you can't fight it. But for a few dollars, you can ease the pain a little bit. And another surprising thing you'll find when you're standing in a long line, in a line of maybe 25 people, only one or two of those people will have a book, a magazine, or any reading material with them at all. Meanwhile, the rest of the people are staring at the floor or the ceiling. Yep, you'll find, unfortunately, that the Latins are not big on reading. But sometimes I wonder if the first world's doing any better on that count. And speaking of diminished personal space, you'll find that same habit extends to parking lots, if you can believe that. Pick any parking lot, whether it's in an expensive area or a lower middle class area. It doesn't matter. The parking spaces are so tight and so close that you cannot really avoid banging your door against the next guy's car. Even the lines that designate the parking places, they're painted 1 foot to a foot and a half closer together than they are in the first world. And that's why even the latest model cars often have 10 or 20 dings up and down the side door panels. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting in my car, reading the paper or on the phone or whatever. Somebody pulls up next to me, gets out of their car, and whack! There's a brand new ding in the side of my car. And they're always nice about it. The Latins are very polite. And then when you look at their car and you see there's a row of dings up and down their side panel, you shouldn't get mad. But you do, because if that happened in the first world, well, you get the point. For first world guys, it's almost a sacred violation of the don't touch or lean on my car taboo, which is especially ramped up if you got a Harley or a sports car. Must be part of that first world road rage gene, I guess. For an expat, there's really only one way to cure that problem. You should never buy a brand new car. It's as easy as that. I see expats do it all the time, and it's a big mistake. They come down, buy a brand new car, and in 6 months, you just want to cry. So don't do it. We'll be spending a lot of time on cars in another show, so stay tuned for that. And speaking of road rage, one thing you have to remember, Latin America has very liberal gun laws. That means a lot of guys are carrying concealed weapons. Now, I don't have to tell you, it's not a very good idea to go ballistic when a guy cuts you off in traffic. I've personally seen two Wild West-style shootouts myself on a congested road in heavy morning traffic. Road rage? Not recommended.
South of the border, down Mexico.
Hi, I'm Johnny Mueller, back with more of the Expat Files, living in Latin America. And now a segment called Everyday Annoyances. Now, they don't call it the third world for nothing. And every day, you're going to come up against things that you just won't believe are happening. You can either get mad, count to 10, do a slow simmer, or let your blood boil. In either case, it doesn't pay to blow your stack. Because if you do, you're just going to get puzzled faces from the people around you. Because to them, whatever sets you off is completely normal in their world. Right now, I want to talk about natural gas and natural gas appliances in your home. Now, most people that live up north in the United States and Northern Europe have natural gas piped into their houses and businesses. But some first world people who live outside the city have gas propane tanks delivered to their door. Well, in Latin America, almost no one has piped in gas. Everyone has their 25-pound or 100-pound tanks of gas propane delivered right to their houses. It's used almost exclusively for cooking and hot water heaters. In Latin America, heating a house with natural gas or gas propane is almost unheard of. The fact is, Latins rarely have central heating at all. And where it really gets cold, like the southern half of South America and in the mountains, people generally heat with wood, though people with means will sometimes have electric space heaters. But that's not very common. Now, as for me, I've been having my own personal ongoing nuisance moment in regards to the companies that deliver gas propane to my house. Now, in Central America, where I am right now, there are a number of companies that will deliver gas propane right to your house. All of them are Mexican companies, because all the gas propane that comes into Central America comes from Mexico. Mexico has huge natural gas fields, and they compress the natural gas into liquid petroleum. Then they truck it all through Central America. Now, I get a 100-pound tank of this about every 2 months, and a fresh tank comes with a plastic seal on it to assure me that it has 100 pounds in it. And on every tank, there's a stamp in the metal that tells you the weight of the tank when it's empty. Well, about 6 months ago, there was an article in one of the local papers about the Mexican companies shorting some people on the weight of their gas up in Mexico. And the Mexican government slapped them with a fine. And I happen to have my own bathroom scale. So, like a good first world consumer, I started weighing the tanks as they came right off the truck into my house. Now, the first company, called Tropigas, a large international company out of Mexico, shorted me 15 pounds of gas. So I drove down to the local distributor with my bathroom scale in hand and explained my problem. I spent an hour with the general manager and weighed about 20 tanks. Every single one of them was 10 to 20 pounds short, and every one had that nice little seal of approval on it, saying it was filled with the absolute correct weight. So he put me on the phone with his boss at the central office, and the boss gave me a 15% discount, and his excuse was that the tanks come directly from Mexico, and they don't tamper with them, and they come with the seal on them and all that. 2 months later, my tank was empty, and I called up for a new tank, and guess what? They said, oh, sorry, we don't provide 100-pound tanks anymore. We've discontinued that service. Yeah, right, I knew that was impossible, but I also knew there are 5 more companies I can order from. And who wants to do business with a company that steals 15% off of the top of every customer's order? So I phoned up the next usual suspect, Zeta Gas, and they happen to be the largest gas propane company in Central America. And guess what? The same thing. I took my little bathroom scale and measured 15 to 20 pounds short on each of a half dozen tanks they had on their truck. So was it a conspiracy of thieves? Well, you know, there is a Consumer Protection Bureau or Consumer Protection Agency. Every big city has one, but people just laugh when you mention it. So how do they get away with that? It's easy. I asked the delivery guy on the Zeta Gas truck if anyone else has ever weighed a tank of gas like I did, and he said that in his 7 years of working for the company, I was the only guy that's ever taken a scale out and weighed a tank. That's how they get away with it. So now I continue to order my 100-pound tanks, or I should say 85-pound tanks, of gas propane from Zeta Gas, and I don't make a fuss. But I weigh each tank and I document everything. So what am I going to do next? I'm going to go to the largest newspaper in the area and talk to a reporter. Now, I've been advised not to do that. And if I do, I'll probably never get a single tank of gas again from anybody. We'll see. It's not over till it's over. I've also been told that that kind of complaining would never be done by locals. They're so used to getting shafted by big government and by the dozen or so ruling families that have been around since colonial times. In Latin America, the little guy never fights City Hall. He doesn't have time for a battle he can't win. He's too busy busting his butt to feed his family. So, will the expat win this battle? Will I ever get a tank of gas propane again? We'll see how this plays out in a future episode of The Expat Files, living in Latin America. So stay tuned.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, with me, John Mueller. Be sure to tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for The Expat Files, a one-of-a-kind show produced and compiled deep in the heart of Latin America, the only show on the air that takes an honest look at what it's really like to live, work, play, or simply retire in Latin America. And don't forget, all the shows are archived. So to download any previous show for free, just go to the Progressive Radio Network homepage at www.progressiveradionetwork.com and click on the archives. And of course, you can always email me with any of your questions about Latin America, expatfiles@progressiveradionetwork.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.
Then she sighed as she whispered mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana, 'cause our tomorrow never came. South of the border, I jumped back one day.